Let us move forward in comprehension and in of our dissertation. Take your document out. There's some in the back if someone didn't bring it, but I strongly suggest don't leave home without it. Amen. Let's go to page 29. Of course, the document, everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions or measures. The matrix. Go to page 30. Those who are watching by way of the webcast are listening. Amen. Going to our website. Going to the audio or the webcast visual section, therein you will find by clicking an icon, this is document. We're on page 30. More importantly, and in addition, let us turn Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Let us go back. We've gone to complete circle and cycle now. We're back to the base for this sector that we're in. And it's entitled, repeat after me, the sector is conceded scenarios in physicality, secularity, measures. The matrix. Now, again, we've gone through the various definitions. Amen. Time won't allow us to, but basically, we're talking about those things that are imagined as events. Amen. That we give so much credence to. Amen. That they're really not the essence of what they are. What is before you, what's happening to you on a momentary basis as to what your conscience basically receiving and encountering as you move through the frames of time. And of course, amen, and as I was conveying to the youth class this morning, amen, time is a relative term. It's not an absolute term. Even on the earth, depending upon where you are, amen, it basically quantitates what time it is. Those that are on the west coast, some three hours behind us, and down in the southwest, amen, some 2 hours behind. And then those to the east of us on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, you've got anywhere from an 8 to 12 hour gap in there. Amen. And it's night there. It's Sunday evening there. Amen. So basically, even on the earth, time is relative. So now, when you start talking about the essence of eternality, and then basically it brings to comprehension that time is a creation.
Right.
Amen. There is no such thing as time in eternality. God is timeless.
Yes.
I said again, God is timeless. Yes. Amen. So the basic essence of our lives, not to be caught up in the spur of the moment. Amen. But we look at life from eternity, from the timeless sphere of eternality. We look down upon life instead of around in life, or what we call life, which is the matrix. And so God, who is the possessor of light, shines into the darkness, according as we have gone through that passage in corroborating John chapter 1, Amen. And the light went forth and the darkness wasn't able to apprehend it. Amen. So into the nothingness, amen, creation conveys its course of Genesis, and everything is purpose. Everything is purpose. Everything is purpose in what? Everything is purpose in God. Again, Colossians 1:16, amen. All things what? In him what? Through him and for, let's do it again. In him, through him, for him. So now when we're looking at life, or we're looking at existence, amen, it's all about God. Amen. Now, let's come back as we've gone full circle, Romans. We'll focus on chapter 6, but I want to just go one more time through this in relationship for context sake. Starting chapter, various in verse 1 of Romans. Let's read there, Deacon. Everybody turn to, everyone has Romans chapter 8, amen, verse 1, say amen. Amen. All right. Read.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning verse 1, King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
See, if I was, of course, I'm not saying this to be critical, but I was going to divide, and of course, now you know all of the manuscripts, amen, there are no punctuations, there are no divisions of chapters and verses, but this is not where I would have made a break. I would not have separated verse 25 from verse 1. Now, it's a good thing that they did, because I was able to call the chapter this morning and verse, you were immediately able to turn to it. But I would not have basically the word there that begins that, oh man, that verse that begins there, the Greek word ara. That conveys the beginning of what it is saying is drawing a conclusion, and there would not have been the confusion in the latter part of that verse that talking about don't walk. Who's not walking after the flesh and after the spirit. And of course, that verse there really is down in verse, actually utterance there is down in verse 4, where it is appropriately located. Amen. But here, as he conveys that, it is in continuation of a question that he asked in chapter 7, verse 24. He said, I'm a wretched something, you know? And who's going to deliver me from this flesh? And then in verse 25, he gives the answer there. He said, now, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that with the mind, I myself, that is the flesh, that is in the spirit, myself reflecting the fact that he recognized that who he really is, is the one whom God placed into the body of Christ in eternity. And I serve the principle of law of God. But, he says, now with the flesh, the law of sin. So, there's nothing that's going to be done about that, but the conclusiveness of it is that me, myself, I, the essence of who I am, is who I am in the body of Christ. So I am more who I am in the body of Christ, which is eternal, than I am in the flesh, which is temporary. And so there is no condemnation to who I am in the body of Christ. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
Because the flesh, according to another passage that he wrote to the Corinthians, amen, he speaks of the body as maybe what? Having already been destroyed. Amen. So the problem is already solved.
Yeah, already.
The way, amen, the essence of the curse of the flesh is resolved is that the flesh is destroyed.
That's right.
Already. Having, my God.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
but who I am in Christ is eternal. I just thought I'd clear that up. Keep reading it. Oh, my God.
Verse 2 of the 8th chapter of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death.
That's what he said. Because I who I am in Christ, I'm free from who I am in the flesh.
Thank God, yes.
Even though who I am in the flesh, it plagues me, amen, on a daily basis, amen, in the eternal sphere,
yes,
past and beyond the terrain of time,
yes,
I'm free.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Free. Thank God. Yes.
Everybody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Verse 3.
Verse 3. The law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Law might be fulfilled in us.
In us. So now he's saying who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Righteousness in Christ. Yeah. We're in Christ. When you say righteousness, you better say Christ real quickly.
Quick. That's right.
So that's us. That's who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And who you're not is who do what?
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
That's right. That's who you're not. Those who are basically consigned to identification in the flesh, even though in earthly testimonial, that's basically what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what you get, because he's already destroyed. And these are the things that we must understand. Oh, Lord, if that was understood throughout Christendom, that would wipe out, that would clear the table of legalist doctrines.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. That tells you that through the law and through the systems of rites and sacraments, you're able to accomplish something in the flesh. The only thing that about this flesh and is the best thing, amen, is that he's not going to stick around.
That's right.
In manifestation, oh, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
But in actualization, he's a goner.
Amen.
Who you are is who you are in Christ. Oh, God help us to understand that, so that we can appreciate who we are. Keep reading.
Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh...
Mm-hmm, and I said 6 this morning, but what we're going to do is 5. Romans 8 and 5.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
All right, in your document there, I have in that paragraph on page 30 for those that are listening, that's in Romans. I have Romans 8 and 6. That should be Romans 8 and 5. So make that correction, if you will. Now, here we're going to go to the Greek. I'm going to do a little bit of exegesis this morning. Amen. Stick with me now. Amen. I cannot begin to stand here and explicate something to you without first having the intelligence what the utterance is. Wrong utterance, automatically wrong explication. You know, it's like you walk into the middle of a circle and you hear something and you thought you heard something, and then you make an expression based upon what you thought you heard. Those who have the intelligence of the conversation, understanding the utterance, turn and look at you and say, that's not what we're talking about. It'd be like apples and oranges. That's not what we're talking about. So this is where we stop, and we're not going to be intimidated undauntedly. We're going to go into exegesis through the threefold aspect of Bible study and Bible interpretation and translation, really. Amen. And that is what?
Historical.
Contextual. What?
Grammatical.
We're into historical, and you know that you're in the grace covenant. Amen. And these are 14 epistles to the church, basically, including Hebrews. Paul is not... If he is conveying revelation, there are certain things it is impossible for him to be saying. Because he is speaking from the eternal view. The eternal heavenly view. Now here, in this verse 5, everybody pay close attention. This is a good lesson that I want you to take out of here today. Amen. We have two basic words in there. One is dealing with that which is physical or natural, and the other one is spiritual. All right, Brother Deacon, read that from the Greek.
Romans chapter 8. The fifth verse from the interlineal Greek text. For the according to flesh being, the things of the flesh mind.
Okay, stop. Notice there. What he is doing, now we use the word sarkar. It is in relationship to those things that are physical. When you say flesh, you're talking about physical, natural. And here, actually reads, Iga kata saka. That is, for the according to flesh, are those things pertaining to physicality, to physical, to natural. In the essence of those things that are assigned to it. Undes, being. That is, tartis sacros, which is the things of the flesh, of physicality, and here that is in the genitive case, which means the things that belong to physicality.
Yes.
Now, there's only one verb in this, and we'll get to that in a moment, but here think that we should premise that verse so that as we go through it, we will comprehend what is being conveyed here. We have two spheres. One of them, fleshly, physical. And the things that are assigned to that, know what they are, and amen, constrict and consign and restrict those things, amen, to that category. What is physical, consign it to physicality because there it limits what's there. You know that passage that we read so many times, and those that are watching or listening, you may make a note. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He makes a very bold statement. We're not looking at what? The things being seen. We're not prioritizing. We're not considering those as things that are permanent. Actually, if it's not abiding, if it can't survive, then it's really not real. Now, sometimes in the fall, when we come back, amen, from the summer, and we start up again ministering, we're going to go back to finalize the last five parts of the document that, remember, we spent 5 years on, that is scriptural distinctions of what? Actualization by God's decree in eternity for manifestation on in time. Remember, there were 10 parts there, and we went through 5 of them in 5 years. I'm thinking I can go through the other 5 parts in maybe about 3 years. But you know, I'm not even worried about it. It's there, it's archived. Amen. And it's not my call and my province. Amen. But we will go into parts 5 through 10. Yeah, 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 yeah. Parts 5 through 10. Yeah. And actually, you've got to be able to separate. If you're going to deal with substance and what substance is, you've got to be able to separate physicality from spirituality. All right. Read the last part of that there, and then we will actually go into our explication, now having the confidence of what's there in relationship to what the utterance is. All right? Read.
But the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
So here is the divide. But to actually get the benefit there, you got to understand that in one sphere, it is about what isn't. In the other sphere, it is about what is. And I think one of the nights that we going in our May conference, by the way, which is now, those that are watching, amen, it will begin on the 23rd of May through the 25th. But on that first night, Thursday night, we will be dealing with the essence of what God's presence is and isn't. Yeah. Which actually speaks to the essence of what the sphere is.
Yeah.
As soon as you say physicality, you're not talking about something that is, you're talking about something that isn't. So when we speak of a substance that is there in manifestation temporarily, amen, for testimony, and it's not going to stick around, amen, if it doesn't stick around, the essence of it being in itself the essence of what it is, amen, right away that goes out the window. That goes out the window. What it is. Amen. And this is why in that passage we just made mention of in that in Corinthians there in the, in that 18th verse, you see, he said, we're not looking at those things. We're not prioritizing. We're not considering physicality. Why? Because it's temporary. Temporary. You watching something as though, you know, I think about the passage in Acts, and There's a chapter there, and also basically, I think it's in the course of the Gospels, don't hold that to me, but Jesus ascended, and remember when they were all standing there watching him? Mm-hmm. After he disappeared, they were still watching. Oh. The Lord sent a message and said, hey, you guys, let's get on with it. Even though it was Jesus, the image of Jesus in the flesh, amen, it was always temporary. Oh, my God. This is why Paul, amen, as he writes to those, to the Corinthians, amen, in chapter 5, amen, he speaks to the end that that we don't know him in the flesh. Even though we have known him in the flesh, he said, amen, no longer do we know him in the flesh. In fact, we don't know anything, amen, according to physicality, amen, because it doesn't stick around along for long enough, amen, for you to settle on it. This is why you always have the expression in the old, in the that is the King James, and it came what? To pass. It comes, but then what? It passes. It's here, then it's gone. Your problem, your trouble, that thing that worried you, that had you up all night long, that thing's gonna go. It's gotta go. Whatever it is. So in that sense, from eternality, it's gone. What about the good things? Amen. Oh, God, there's nothing in physicality that's good enough for you to want to hang on forever. And there are some good things, your family and friends, and amen, some things, you know, that's amen. But, oh, my God, what's in eternality triumphs of everything that's in physicality. Oh, give God a praise this morning. Oh, hallelujah. 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 No. So we have these spheres. One, as we conveyed, been conveying as we set up the scripture distinctions, is manifestations and testimony and temporary, what we call life. That's what's, that's what the matrix is all about. Amen. It's there for testimony. Mm-hmm. It's not there to stay. Nope. Can we, like a stopwatch, stop and keep the minute we're in from moving to the next? No. And the minutes goes into hours and hours and days and days and months and months into decades and decades into scores and the scores into centuries and the centuries into millennium. And you can't stop it. But as you learn this, you don't want to stop it. The things and physicality we focus on and we see them in essence of what they are, temporary. In that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, but we are looking at the unseen of the things not being seen, that is, that you're not able to grasp visually. But that's what we prioritize. Isn't that something else? The flesh does the opposite of what God's word says. This is what the church and the ministries are teaching, and they're focusing on what? They're focusing on the seen. They're ministering on a prioritized basis about the scene. And here's the scripture telling us that's not what our primary, amen, focus. Every aim, every hope that you have is an eternal hope.
Eternal.
time is moving. Time is moving. It's not standing still. And thank God. But the realization of your best existence is before you. Conscious-wise, the essence of us dwelling in the serenity and peace and joyfulness of the Lord. This is what that scripture really means, that the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank God. Glory to God.
Now we may stand, start to say alone, but I know we're not standing alone. God has got many, many other witnesses to this, as he's expressed to his prophet. You're not the only one. You're not going to have a lot of company when you when you preach this.
That's right.
No. Not going to have a lot of company. No. No. Everything is about physical. Even the healing of the bodies and the pastor's pen this morning as we were conveying that word supernatural. Everybody pay attention. That word supernatural. That word supernatural, we don't use that here. Super means what? Potent.
Yeah.
To rev it up.
Mm-hmm.
To give it some activity.
Yes. Yes.
To soup it up.
Yes.
You know, like in a car, you put some more spark plugs in there and then to get the cylinders. The clicking faster and more power. Huh?
Amen.
Super. Mm-hmm. Then the next word is natural. Woo!
Oh,
isn't the flesh bad enough?
Yeah.
You want to soup it up?
Yeah.
Now, that word is used as a camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
That word is used as a camouflage. Spirituality. There's nothing spiritual in souping up the flesh.
Amen. Amen.
Spiritual is eternal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
Amen. So we have these two spheres here. Now, I want you to go to the top of page 30 as it flows from page 29. See where it says scripture denounce. That's not where the sentence belongs. There's one word we have to borrow from page 29. Contrary-wise, everybody with me. Scripture denounce that these divisions and deposits exist in contemporary insinuations exude the essence of their determinative insignificance. Now what he's saying is the fact that these things are denied as beings in the scripture definitively conveys that they're not in being. From the standpoint, not that I'm looking and I'm seeing something, but from the standpoint that soon what is before you visually will disappear.
Sure will.
Uh-huh. Our lives.
Yes. Come on with it.
What we are and what we're doing now.
Uh-huh.
50 years, 75 years from now. And I'm going to put it way out there because somebody get nervous when you start talking. I don't expect to be here.
Amen.
In fact, long before.
Amen. Yes.
But I'm confident that where I am in Christ is permanent.
Glory to God.
why this is what we prioritize and this is what we look at. The spiritual, eternal essence of who we are in Christ. Follow me now. Reliable possessions. Everybody say reliable possessions.
Reliable possessions.
What are reliable possessions? Reliable, that which you can count on. What is possession? Something that you have. What is it that you have that you can count on? Certainly nothing that you picked up in this world. And some may view that they picked up some very valuable things. We picked up friendships in this world, amen. But you know what? That which preceded it in eternity, the fellowship in eternity far exceeds anything that we have picked up in this world. Brother Charlie is a very good fellow, and I appreciate, thank God for the time knowing him. Amen. But I guarantee you that what he is in Christ and what I am in Christ excels above any relationship, amen, that we have here in the matrix. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And that goes for husband, wife, that goes for your offsprings, parents, and these are very near and dear to us in the matrix. But they're temporary. But what we have in Christ, amen, you wouldn't be able to even, oh my God, you cannot imagine the fellowship. Essence of in him. Oh, what a blessing it is to understand and comprehend these things through the scriptures, through the word of God. Now, amen, some of God's people are going to have to, amen, depart, amen, this body, amen, close their eyes in consciousness in this sphere, amen, to finally realize just how good and how great God really is. Wake up in the arms of Jesus. Oh my God. The first thought has to be, oh, what took so long? Others say, wow, now I'm living.
Yes, indeed.
I thought I had lived, but now I'm living.
Hallelujah.
Some of y'all look at me strange, but I'm telling you, oh my God. Lord has made it possible for those that have gone on before us to come back and tell us about it. But his word is sufficient. Isn't that what he says? Why don't I, can I send someone back? He said, no. They don't believe Abraham. They won't. So, you know, that's not how it works. The presence of God is realized through internalizing his communication to you through his word. The faith that he has imparted to you is to receive the witness and to receive the testimony. To receive the communication of who he is and what he is and what he has done and who you are based on the fact of who he is. Oh my, give him a praise this morning. Glory. Glory. And I know somebody sitting there said, and watching, somebody listening, someone saying that preacher's crazy. No, we're not. This is real. This is real. What you are dealing with every day, it's not real in the sense that it ain't going to last. But this is real. Because this is forever.
Amen.
And so as we look around in our lives, whatever is going on, as much as it is affecting you emotionally, it's just a passing experience in the course of your life. Whatever it is. It's not the realness of real.
No.
It doesn't stick around.
No.
I gave this example the other day as I was dealing with the essence of who we are in the flesh. Which one are you? Not too long ago, my brother Wallace and I running around in Florida, in Tampa, little boys, just running, playing, folks, getting on my mother's dirt. You gotta sit out, stop. Think about it. Sometimes when I'm dealing with the grandkids. Why can't they sit still? Well, you didn't sit still. Then on through adolescence and teen and early adulthood and on to middle age and now at my age, amen, pushing 70 now. Which one are you really? I want everybody to stop, those that are watching. Realize these are all reflections of what God has coursed in testimony, like reflections in a mirror. And depending upon what angles you're looking at is what you see. The course of our lives. And not the essence of anything in themselves.
No.
That's the difference between actualization by God's decree in eternity, which is the real deal, and the reflections are manifestations for testimony's sake. In time.
Hallelujah.
To get to who you are.
Come on.
You go to the essence of eternality.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the confines of the time capsule.
Yes. Yes.
We're in a restricted testimony. So you go into eternity, and according to Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, bless the God Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having what?
Blessed us.
With what? Each and every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavens. Where the heavens?
In Christ.
Verse 4.
All right.
According. That is bringing you to the point of where things really are. According to, Costa, according what? As he chose us, where?
In him.
Everybody say in him.
In him.
That's where the essence of life really is.
Yes.
Let's say it again, in him.
In him.
We're into the realm of spirituality.
Yes, indeed.
The true essence
of
God's presence.
Yes.
And your being according to God's being. Existence according to God. As Hebrews 11:3. Existence according to God.
That's right. That's right.
It's in a saying. How our existence is all about God's word. He chose us in him when?
Before.
What is it about before the foundation of the creation of the world, of the creation of the time element,
right,
with all these components in for testimony? Say, what is it about that we don't understand? That our existence transcends that. You are who you are in Christ,
yes,
above the essence of physicality.
Yes.
This is why we don't worry about who shoot what nuclear weapons and bombs and what asteroids are heading toward the earth. What diseases are out there. This body is already destroyed. That doesn't interrupt, amen, the essence of who I really am.
Amen.
Now, they're not going to teach this in the ministry.
Because
we're more interested in five ways how to do something in this life. And I hope that whatever I hope in a way that you get what you want, but, amen, after you get it, it's not going to be what you think it is. Huh? Because the scriptures, God is telling us through his word some things, and because that doesn't resonate with my mind, it's like, this goes right by. And the ministers are buying into that. I would love to see this place filled. But to leave this, But to move away from the essence of who I am according to Christ, to move away from the essence of life according to Christ, to move away from the essence of existence according to Christ, it's not worth it. Because now you are out in fantasy land. Oh, they call what we are teaching here, they call this fantasy. No, it's not. Fantasy is what dissipates. Like a musician doing a trick. The illusion is gone because it was never there. Life in the matrix is an illusion from the sense of visualizing it for the point. Visualizing it from the standpoint of having an experience in the matrix, but to know what that thing is, it's not about what it is, it's about what? What it's for. Let's finish that paragraph, amen. I'm going to get through this. You know what? I'm not even worried about how fast we move through this. You must understand that there's something out there that's just beating you up or either waiting to beat you up, and you got to know this.
Yes,
to stand above the things that are wrong us.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes we ask,
yes, Lord,
why does everything seem to be going wrong? In the matrix, please. Everything in the there's nothing in the matrix that's designed to be perfect. But the best part about it, it comes and what? Then it's gone. Finish this paragraph here. Realm of possessions extricate exactness of, more pointedly, all allocated, interruptedly tenured, and indeed exuded in attributes of what are emphatically eminences. Ooh, we touched on this a little bit last week, and I know I'm going over this again, but amen. I want to make sure that we get this. Eminences is descriptions of actualized objectives. What are eminences? Descriptions of actualized objectives. Everybody, repeat after me. Eminences. descriptions of actualized objectives. What's imminent? What must be?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What redounds from that? That which is and always will be. Those are your actualized objectives. And this is what, God help us, that our ministry must be about. We make no excuse. Oh no. We make no excuse, none whatsoever, that our focus is in eternity. Someone once said to someone here, said, your pastor is stuck in eternity. And I said, guilty. I'm just as guilty as I can be.
Amen.
We must understand what spiritualism is, a spirituality is. It's not camouflaged in mysticism. When you take something physical and you misconstrue it as spiritual, amen, that's mysticism. And it will let you down. It will disappoint you. But our life is in Christ. Let me finish this. These comprehend, solidly codify, regulate. I know I'm going over this again. It doesn't bother me. Spiritual, eternal entities. Everybody says spiritual, eternal entities. As unadulterated, undefiled, unblemished definitions, because like attributes, such a congruent certifies, getting back to reliable possessions. These are your congruent, that means actually matches what's there. Certifies of possessions. What you have forever. If you don't have it forever, you don't have it. And never had it. What does that scripture say in corroboration? Whatever you brought in, what? You're not taking it out. If you didn't bring it in, you don't take it out. I said, well, what about my salvation? I got that. Well, I said, no, you didn't. You brought that in before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
You had that in eternity.
Yeah.
So you brought that in, and that's the only reason you take it out. The authentic gauge of resolution excels beyond materiality mediums. These are your measures, scales, shades, substantive compositions, and other matrix misconceptions of purposeful objective influences. And even though they influence the mind as it relates to, because we so visually inspired, amen, that is not what we count on.
Amen. Thank God.
And so when we started talking about, then I'm going to cut off for the day. Amen. We've got something else to do. Started talking about certifiers. We're talking about that which you can have confidence in. That which abides. That which we can have confidence in and sticking around and staying. That which we are wedded to in the essence that well as we abide in eternality.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so when we sing some of the songs,
thank God.
My prayer is that our minds will project beyond the sphere of physicality and where we are. We're safe because of who we are. We're safe because of where we are.
Amen.
We're safe because of who we're in.
That's it.
We're safe because we're solidly within the realm of spirituality, even though in testimony, there are these manifestations in physicality. And so when we understand this, we can, amen, sing with the light, blessed assurance.
Yes, that's the assurance.
Jesus is mine.
That's right.
Because as I go through this matrix, I can say, oh, looking at the word of God.
Yes.
What a foretaste of what?
Glory.
Yes.
Divine.
That's
right. That's right.
Because of who I am. Who am I?
That's
right. I mean, I have salvation.
Yes.
In eternity, I was purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, not 2,000 years ago. In eternality, Revelation 13 and 8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And so, above whatever is happening around here, this is my testimony. This is my story. This is my song. And with this knowledge, this is why, in spite of what's going on, in spite of what I've encountered in the matrix, I'm praising my Savior. Can you praise Him? Give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. In spite of your problem, give Him a praise. In spite of what you're encountering, isn't He wonderful? Isn't He great? Isn't He marvelous?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.